smart girlfriends know to get their orgasms out of the way first.
Yeah, none of this, no, I want to wait for you bullshit. Get it if it's going.
Get it if it's going.
Catch as catch can.
Catch as catch can, right?
Beep, 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 beer. Beep, 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 beer. Beep, 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 beer. Beep, 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 beer. Beep, beer. Beep, beep, beer. Beauty, beep, 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 beep. It's the 4 countdown.
From our dusty cellars, adding the word urgent to the phrase sex appeal, it's the 4 countdown. I'm Manus Cronin. Unusually happy that the independent property section comes on glossy paper so you can clean it after you've wanked with it. Gavin Carberry.
You came up with that upstairs because there's a glossy property paper upstairs.
Yes, I did. It's like a Kaiser Soze moment, you know?
Yeah, the clues were there the whole time.
Amazed that the straw house survived long enough to be blown down by a wolf, to be honest. Jack Toner.
That's not as good as Gavin.
No, it isn't. I'm also just blowing through weeks of intros for these. I haven't come up with anything for you guys. I was like, when I arrive, I'll write those.
And it worked in one case.
Now a major motion picture, James Belfast. In podcast studios soon. Available in all on all good podcasts.
Yeah.
Available on all good podcasts.
That's why he's not available here.
Yeah, he's going to be on Radio Lab this week. Yeah.
James, you got out of that godforsaken hellhole of the final countdown. I think it would be worth it for us to be mentioned in a negative way on Radio Lab.
Yeah.
Like, it would pan out.
There's no such thing as bad press.
Exactly. People would be like, how bad can it be?
And well, people being mentioned on this program would probably be bad press.
Yeah. In fact, we've got a lot of cease and desist letters.
That's our entire...
From, I don't know if I should mention his name. Okay. Maul McCarthy.
You notice the ad stopped when our funding model changed to, we won't talk about your product if you pay us. You stop paying us, we're going to start promoting you heavily and associating ourselves with your brand. Going there, organising things for you, you know. On the agenda this week, we have canned ham that was promised from last week.
We want to bring that at the top of the agenda so it doesn't get pushed down.
We want to blue balls to people a little bit.
Yeah.
People are wanking about canned ham.
Like, I love when our episodes end on a cliffhanger. Really keeps people coming back.
No, it doesn't if you look at the numbers. We have Gavin's work experience story.
Yeah.
And we are flagrantly, given that it's a lazy Monday, stealing a thread from Reddit and talking about it.
Oh, no.
I don't think it's so bad.
Twitter.
Twitter.
Even worse.
Well, I don't feel the need to credit Twitter quite as much.
No. I will not be reading the names associated with the funny lines.
Absolutely. It's the anti-credit. Anything else that might come up is a bonus. That's the material that really makes you want a bonus. Right? Huh. Thank you. That was the right response. I earned that.
As opposed to silence, we've decided the worst way...
polite.
The worst way to punish a joke is polite applause.
We were punished by that once and I've never forgotten it.
Wait, what happened?
It was the day that... I don't want to make excuses. We died in our arse. But it was the day... interestingly, the day Ben Mepstead left... our comedy group.
Oh, right, yeah.
So there was three of us.
Yeah.
And we were doing The Quiet Pint. And in The Quiet Pint, which is Matt Smith's night, Matt Smith and John Gallagher...
upstairs in Dame Lane?
Yeah. They do... The tradition, it's a sketch group. They always have a sketch group and it always headlines because that's what they like to do.
Mm.
So we had to headline and we were greeted by polite applause at the end of all sketches and nothing else.
Painful.
It's one of those moments that like reminded me that gigs going well doesn't feel as good as when it doesn't feel as good as a gig going bad feels bad.
Yeah,
there's a lot more downside.
Yeah.
It's like saying I love you and someone saying thanks.
Yeah,
just the polite applause of a comedy.
Is that not the right response?
It's
better than lying.
No wonder they keep dumping me. It is genuinely not better than lying if you want to keep having sex with that person.
What are you optimizing for here, guys?
Canned meat review.
Yes.
Let's just go with that. Well, do you want to
see? Are we drinking?
Oh,
Or what the fuck is going on here?
Okay, Gavin, Jesus. Put the knife down.
I didn't think you needed it.
We are drinking Pale Lanner Hefeweiss beer. Site.
Not your troop.
1600 Fehrenreitzisch. That's the extent of my German, it's all you're getting.
Danke, Manus. Danke.
Bitter. No, that's next week when we try weed.
Danke Nugs.
That would be a great name for German weed.
The glasses arrived down.
Yes, they did. That's yours over there, yes.
This actually very briefly occupied the top spot on my own personal favourite beer list.
What? When was that?
When they used to sell it in Doyle's.
In mass quantities.
For cheap.
Euro. In IV form.
I believe it was €4 a pint in Doyle's. Which they might as well have sold it in mass quantity.
No, but back in those days, you that was back in the like 3.50 pints and McTurkles kind of days.
Remember when it was €3?
€3 pints. God almighty. And I think, was it €3 pints all the time, or was €3 pints just on Thursday?
It started Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, €3. Yeah. It was 3.50 pints. But if you had a card from either Players or the Hist or somewhere like that, it was €3. And of course, eventually they stopped asking for the card, and eventually the €3 went every day,
and eventually they went out of business. I mean, you do the maths.
If they had done the maths, they would have paid the tax, man.
they wanted to, but if you're going to go out of business anyway, you might as well do it having a great time, and they did, because they filled the place. It used to be empty, and then it was suddenly full. And then it died.
You've got a successful bar.
It's weird to go back to Rune Bar, because the exterior is entirely different, or the bar is entirely different. The jacks are identical.
It's the same. That's so weird.
They put
with the weird stained glass.
The jacks in, did they have stained glass?
Oh no, sorry, the Rune Bar. I'm thinking of the Long Stone.
No, Rune Bar is where McTurkle's. Oh no, McTurkle's was that?
McTurkle's.
Does it still have the same like three section setup where you've got like the bar at the front, the bar at the back, and you've got the weird bit in the middle?
The bar is just one big long bar now, but it still kind of feels like two sections. The little snug area, the middle bit is gone, but the other one around the back is still there. Yeah. And that just feels the same. It's really weird. I had very intense memories when I went there last time. It was just like, you know, you're in one bar and then suddenly you're 22 again.
I haven't been into the new one. I feel like it would just
I don't think it's doing very well. Because you can always get a fucking seat in there. I like it for that reason.
I've been drinking in Four Dame Lane but a couple of nights ago. Why? Because no matter what, there's always a space in Four Dame Lane.
Because it's kind of crap.
It's true, but it's not like any specific kind of crap. It's just for some reason, no one ever goes there.
It used to be where events went to die as well.
You could always get to upstairs for free if you said, I'm bringing 50 people. Yeah. 20 are going to show up.
We had to stop. We had to stop people. That was the genus of the rule that you couldn't use a player's name to book events. Because people were going, we're with DU Players.
They've got 3,000 members.
So fundraisers and stuff would do that, and then 20 people would show up, and then we try.
And only 8 of them were actually buying pints.
And we try and book it for something legitimate, and then it'd be like, "Use dickheads." No, absolutely not. No, get out of here. Get your excuses in early, though, is what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, get your excuses in early.
Yeah, that's what they do. So this occupied space at the top of my drinking list for a little while, and then it didn't because, it's fine. But
yeah. First tasting?
It's a peppery, spicy boy.
That is a whip beer, all right.
Whit!
Woo! That's a
do you know whip people?
A vice beer. Lucky James isn't here. It's very estery and very.
He's not here.
take that, you son of a bitch.
It's very estery and banana-y and quite smooth drinking. I think. I always find that I during the first couple of sips of a wheat beer, it feels like it's going to give me a headache. I don't know why, but it's just like, it almost tastes like medicine.
This beer is 100% going to give me the hiccups.
Yeah.
That's what I taste out of it. It's actually kind of, I wasn't expecting to like it. I haven't had a wheat beer in a really long time, but I don't tend to like them. But this is like exceptionally smooth.
It's a very, very flavorful.
Very flavorful. You know, there is a spice.
Because Paul... Paul
there is a spice, right? That's, yeah. That's just not just...
No, there is. Yeah, yeah. And like an indistinct... Like you can't tell what spice it is. I don't think it's kind of like... Jägermeister made with 14 spices.
It's I'm surprised at how noticeably better than most wheat beers I've had. Mm. This is it's not my favorite style actually. A lot of the time,
I quite like this. I find wheat beers quite heavy.
They are quite heavy for a wheat beer.
Quite heavy for a wheat beer. Yes,
the Kristen Thomas wheat beer. By the way, Rick, we're like coming up with loads of shit before the show, and now we're like, Kristen Thomas, quite heavy.
Firing on all cylinders in the kitchen.
We've become what we so teased about the BBC commentary team. So, positives on the first impression of this
I think positives, given that I'm not a huge fan of the style.
Oh, yeah, it is just knocking on the ceiling of how good this can be.
I would.
Probably be in the same boat as you and you're seeing that, so let's just
we fucking bury the lead anyway. Manus, what did you eat?
Canned ham from Prince's.
I bought fit for royalty. You say for royalty.
I actually
you had cans of Tuborg.
I did from the beer of Danish kings.
My royal appointment to the Dutch court.
Just for the sake of the joke, I bought two cans of ham so that I could. Have two princes, you know, the song.
By the Saw Doctors.
Yes. Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors, yes.
Saw Doctors were a Galway band. Well, let me, I said we buried the lead. Let me tell you what it looks like when you cook it the way I cooked it.
Describe it to me, Manto.
Looks like bacon.
Yeah, right. And that's what I've used. That's what I've been using it as a substitute for. I've had a can of canned ham by Prince's in my fridge, getting smaller by the day, being two rashers every morning.
Wow.
And cooked under the grill.
Does it taste like rashers?
Kind of, in that it's ham. It's grilled ham is what it is.
Okay,
It doesn't have the like the streak of fat going through.
No.
Is there any fat in it?
I'm sure it's full of fat.
Yeah. I am sure of many things, one of which is that this is full of fat, and salt.
And salt.
It's just and fat. Every bite is shortening my life by seconds.
For you, dear listener. For you. So you don't have to.
It's fat and salt, but with the flavouring of pork scratchings sprinkled on top.
I can't imagine how disgusting it would be to eat it the way the serving suggestion is on the tin, where it's not in any way, I mean, obviously it's cooked in the can, but like it's just oh, there's so much jelly.
Oh yeah, I saw a pic on your Twitter.
Dog food levels.
Oh fucking, it's so jelly like.
Yeah,
you've got to get rid of that fucking jelly.
Well, what is the jelly? Is the jelly like collagen from the
collagen?
Yeah, because from what I understand, they're canned raw and then cooked in the can.
Okay,
so
right.
So it's whatever kind of runoff would normally just come off a ham.
Yeah. Huh.
So it's like
collagen does come out when you cook it if there's like maybe like some bones or tendons in there.
Is that where collagen comes from?
I don't think the people of Prince's can afford bones or tendons. To be honest with you, just anuses. Just the pig anuses.
Just the pig anus.
And they, not the good part either.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, if it contains pig anuses, I wish they'd cooked it before it went in the can. You get me? Like, you're keeping all of that anus juice in there.
Yeah, give us a bit of runoff.
That's what makes it good.
Well, the only ones from...
It tastes spicy, like pig anus.
Pig anus.
What was the last the pig eating burrito?
The pig eating pig anuses?
Proving
oh my god, I've gone mad. Mad pig disease.
I'll eat a pig's ass, you cook it right.
What's that from?
Chris Rock.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah. What do they call it? If you've opened a can of Spam ever, and dear listener, I assume you've done that.
Yes, I mean, at the very least, you uncultured swine.
You will find some.
No, uncultured swine is what's in this can.
That'd be a much better name for a major motion picture. Uncultured swine. You will find some of that jelly in a tin of Spam, but not nearly as much.
Are you trying to tell us, Manus, that you weren't ready for that jelly?
It was too bootylicious.
Well, it was Big Anus. It was definitely bootylicious.
So you're
you're telling me.
So you're continuing to eat the ham. So I think the ham must rate very highly.
It's very convenient.
Very convenient.
It's real fucking handy. I just slice a couple of slices off the ham.
Throw it in a sandwich and you've got yourself a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, basically, like it doesn't quite taste like a ration, but it's like I got 7 days out of it.
Jesus.
Just having two of those little slices, you know, and it's only £2 or something.
How does your body feel?
I don't think the ham is the biggest problem, to be honest. It's all the rampant abuse of alcohol, I'd say, which is really
decades of it.
That's you're hoping for a Monty Burns approach where if you do enough bad things, they won't be able to get through the door.
Shane McGowan's still alive.
Yeah, Shane McGowan's still alive.
I'm hoping the cancers are just going to fight each other.
Yeah. Just stay off jet skis and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, exactly,
That's what kills you, not drinking. Kirsty McCall, jet ski, dead.
Years of alcoholism.
Basically fine. Now, I use the term basically fine very liberally. Because if you've heard him interviewed in the last 30 years, he isn't basically fine.
He's doing quite poorly.
He is still alive.
Yeah. Out of 10, what would you give the canned ham?
I'm trying to think of what I gave other things for reference. It isn't as nice as the other tins of
It's not as nice as Spam.
It's not as nice as Spam. It's probably not as nice as...
roast beef.
It's certainly not as nice as roast beef.
Yeah,
it's not as nice as the other. The little
is it as nice as is it as nice as pie?
I got more legit use out of it than the pies.
Yeah.
But on a just pure taste test, no, the pies are remarkable. Considering what the pie in a tin is, it's remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible that it's
possible. A feat of human engineering.
Yeah, it's mad.
Yeah, similar to how the Japanese voted instant ramen the greatest invention of the 20th century. Yeah. So too should the UK vote the Findus pie.
To give Frey Bentos.
Frey Bentos, sorry.
The Findus men make them too. Princes also make pie in a tin.
Yeah,
but the Frey Bentos is superior. Maybe it isn't. I can't remember if I argued that consistently in the past. Consistency out the window.
Yeah, but I'm a hypocrite.
I like to criticize hippos.
Right?
If anything deserved flight of flaws, right? That was that one.
I'm trying to look up Frey Bentos, and it turns out it's the capital city
of Liverpool
of Uruguay.
Frey Bentos.
No.
City?
No.
It's not the capital city of Uruguay.
No, wait. It's the capital city of the Rio Negro department in... What? Okay, this is a bad fact. Move on.
Yeah.
Most facts that have the word Negro in them aren't great. Terrible facts with Jack Tony. A lot of N-bombs in this list, Jack. These IQ data related to race. What are you doing here? Yeah. Is that a phrenology chart you have?
Yeah.
Bring back some phrenology.
Got some bad facts, man. I don't want to be the one to tell you. I do want to be the one to tell you.
Oh my God. Big news in the world of Frey Bentos. Coming out literally yesterday.
They've decided to stop.
In fact, they're doubling down with their first ever vegan pie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
The second...
I can abide pie in a can, but vegans...
The second thing that comes up when you Google Frey Bentos report, because I was looking for some sort of corporate report, I want to know what kind of business these people are doing, is Frey Bentos, a town in Uruguay, not just a meat pie, 8 days ago in The Guardian.
Ah, okay.
Meat pie in Uruguay rhyme too, which is very important for that town.
It really is, yeah.
It's the entire reason they wrote the article.
Yeah.
The twinning committee for that town.
Yeah.
They fucked the dog. They stayed home and fucked that dude.
Yeah, our sister city is a small pie in a can.
A small pie in a can. They also make like a suet pudding in a tub.
Suet pudding? Sorry.
It's some sort of fat.
Okay, yeah.
Fat-based thing. They make a little pudding, meat pudding, which I've never had it, but they do make that.
All right.
I probably will have it.
Eventually, if history has told us anything, you will put a lot of things in your mouth.
Okay, they do about 30 million a year, pounds.
UK.
in terms of
sales. Yeah,
with the hyperinflation that's going to follow Brexit, they'll do way more.
Yeah, they might be the only edible thing left in Brexit.
The wheelbarrow full of Deutschmarks.
It'll be a canvas bag full of Frey Bentos.
Then we'll see who votes for not Hitler. And that way for that economy to get shit enough, them Jews start to look awful shifty.
Probably the only person you could persecute now would be a straight white man, to be honest with you. Yeah. I have concentration camps for them next. That's where I can't have sex with anyone ever. And my rank odour.
And my rank odour and personality.
If you are one of those people, listeners, can I just, and I'm not bragging, I've had sex before. So, it's possible for you. It is not your looks it's that are stopping you, man. Yeah. It's not your wealth. That's not getting in the way at all. I'll send you an updated picture.
Yeah.
You can see. It must be at least this this hot.
Yeah.
Just Matt is holding a bank statement. That's the only picture.
Shirtless. Or pantsless with a shirt on.
Yeah. That'll really...
With the shirt just sort of riding up to show a bit of tum.
Yeah.
Holding a two-year-old box of condoms that, while relatively full, there's has some gone.
Yeah, some gone.
You know, that's... And no property section inside, so you know I wasn't tugging it. But they do, that's the thing, of property porn, right?
Property porn
is the thing, what were we talking about, canned ham?
I mean, what?
We were talking about canned ham. I don't know.
I'm not recommending to get the canned ham. I'm not recommending to get the canned ham.
Nope.
But, like, if you're me, get it. See, it's a good thing we don't have as much canned meat here as they do in the UK, because I just got buck wild. It's fucking
We'll great. Go on tour, man. Don't worry.
We'll go on tour.
Yeah.
You'll get long-term booty sickness.
Yeah, fly into which, like, Sunderland, I suppose they would have the highest crew, maybe.
The Meccans. They have fucking loads of, do you know what they're called? Meccans.
No.
Well, you make them do this and you make them do that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read it somewhere. with that, not really out of the way, but on the back
done.
It is done.
It's still sitting in the way, sort of, you know.
You're definitely hanging in the air.
Gavin pre-show was, and actually this is quite topical, because I was on the bus on Friday and there was a lot of pimply youths in suits.
Yeah.
In ill-fitting suits. It must be transition year work experience time.
It is transition year work experience time.
And Gavin mentioned that he had a work experience story.
Probably not what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, let's go back to fourth year when Gavin did his work experience in Early and Baldwin, the property solicitors, height of the boom, they were doing great business. I was doing Sudokus.
Wow, that really dates the story.
As you all know, I had a pretty hilarious and slash disastrous interview back in September where I went for a job and just like they fucking threw a bus at me where they asked me all sorts of questions I wasn't prepared
they
for.
They fucked you.
They fucked me.
They fucked you. They
Well, you should have seen it coming when there was only a black couch in the room when you got in.
But, yeah, I should have. But hey, you know, I mean, you see the stars, you see your name in lights, and... They fucked me!
They fucked me.
not a metaphor! They fucked me! I wasn't ready for it. I didn't say no, but I didn't want it. They fucked me. There's no two ways about that.
Well, actually, they fucked me several ways. Two ways about that. Sorry, Gavin, please continue.
But as a result of that, they said, like, you need more experience, Gavin. So I, last week, went for work experience in the company in which I work.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you're an internal exchange student?
I'm an internal exchange student.
You put on a sexy accent and a crap mustache. Well, I did part of that.
So for an hour after work, from Tuesday to Friday, I went in and I helped out on the Ray Darcy show. I did like bashing the phone, calling up people, trying to get them on the show, and like writing like captions for photos that they show on the show and stuff like that. And then on Saturday, I was at the studio, just kind of shadowing people, see what actually happens.
Did anyone ask you to do that? The shadowing part?
No, it's shadowing, not lurking in the shadows,
Gavin.
They
certainly didn't ask me to do it pantsless. So I go Tuesday to Friday, grand, you know, just like doing an hour here, an hour there. And then I go in on Saturday and I arrive at 5:30 and they say, oh, okay, yeah, we're just like taking a little break. We're going to studio at about 6:30, so just chill out. And then the producer comes over to me and goes, oh, we've got another person who's doing a bit of work experience. Would you be able to go down and pick them up? Now, I'm pushing 30 years old. Do you think that the other person doing work experience was my age?
They were in fourth year.
So we were going along together, just kind of following people. And then whenever we were introduced to a new person, they would go, hey, this is Anna and Gavin. They're on work experience.
You fucking jobber.
I know. Yeah.
The worst part was they gave her the job afterwards. She goes, her name was Anna Tuberty.
It was Tuberty.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and then like occasionally we do Gavin.
Did anyone look askance at you
Yeah, no, like a lot of the times we have to explain, it's like, oh no, he's staff in RT, he's looking to make a change, he's just come in for the day, he's not a paedophile.
They are a couple, but that's not why they're here together.
Don't let the mustache fool you. But it was happening so often that eventually we just gave up on it. It's just like, these are the two work experience people.
You're like, hi, Gav.
Hey, how's it going?
My name's Gav.
I grew the mustache to make me look older.
Did it work? If anything, the juxtaposition makes me younger.
And that's my work experience story. Anybody else got any funny
Did you have fun, Gavin?
There were times when it was a little bit awkward, but yeah, in general, like, it was really interesting.
Yeah, that's like
a... And you can't have ego about these things. If you're looking to make a career change, you just gotta fucking...
Yeah, you gotta roll with
take
it.
Your bumps.
Yeah, yeah. That's also, like, a high... is that what you're trying to get into? That's, like, a high-profile kind of...
That's what I'm trying to get into, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, fuck Anna. That's what I say.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Don't.
Oh, fucking...
Yeah, don't. Jesus Christ,
don't.
Yeah.
Don't. And shave.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they're just dancing around the mustache, like, you need more experience. Yeah. We really need to get you over here, put you in with some
people. We need to smooth out some of these things in your CV.
Yeah.
That's just not, you know, RTE material, that mustache, you know? It's just not a, new role. Material.
You get me. You feel.
Just
know,
don't
yeah.
have it.
Just
anymore.
Don't have it on your face. Yeah, it can stay somewhere else, but on your face, it must not be.
A few notes about the mustache, guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to double click on the mustache real quick. could it be somewhere else?
Elsewhere. It's not visible.
Not visible, yeah. Maybe there's a cupboard.
It could be kind of James Bond. Could you get it to, like, flip away when you're in public and then do whatever you like at home?
Yeah, whenever you're at home, break out your mustache. Or just not have it.
Wow. Did they give you that advice? Because whoever did that deserves a raise.
That's good advice, Gavin. You should have got rid of the mustache.
The mustache is staying.
Was it Ricky who came with you? Because they're lying to you, Gavin.
Yeah.
No, whoever's telling you this is a good idea is lying to you.
Good old Ricky. You always get the truth out of Ricky. That's hilarious.
So I was because I was on my own for the Tuesday through Friday bit, I was like on my high horse being, yeah, making a change, doing something for me. This is it, yeah, and then like brought right down to my level when the fourth year TY student was brought in.
Do you think you won?
Yeah, I won.
Yes, my boy.
Yeah. She was on her phone the whole time. I was asking questions. Yeah. I won.
I did my work experience. Well, I did my first one in a solicitor's office doing photocopying.
Like, everyone goes to a solicitor's office. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. No, we're middle class, straight and white.
Yeah, true. What would be it? Oh, sorry, I had to go to the gaiety because I am gay. Yeah.
Well, I just think it's the broadest
costume department in the Abbey.
Yeah. You're barely white.
Yeah, you are barely white.
It's the broadest. I'm barely straight. Yes.
I'm barely.
You're barely, yeah.
My first one, solicitor's office, photocopy, fine. Yeah. Gave me 50 quid at the end of the week, it was grand. My second one, the 2 week one, was in a swimming pool. And when I got...
As a pool noodle.
Oh, I don't think I didn't pitch it.
Buoyant as fuck.
I went in and I was like, they were like, why do you want to do your work experience in the swimming pool? I was like, well, I am a lifeguard, but I've yet to work anywhere as a lifeguard. I've done all my training.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a little bit of it. Oh, you're a lifeguard. Oh, deadly. Okay. You are in charge of the pool from these times and at this, and they just left me at it.
And they just didn't pay you to hire you as a lifeguard.
They just didn't pay me.
Fabulous.
And did you eventually become a lifeguard?
I did eventually. I was able to, like, but then I could have lied anyway.
Yeah, you could have.
Did they ask for any proof?
Like, lying, like, I could have
just said I did what I did there, though. Do you know what I mean? I could have said I did my work experience.
Yeah.
There.
There's too much emphasis put on absolute honesty in children. Like, obviously, you shouldn't get to the point where your child thinks they can lie about everything. Yeah. But at a certain point, just be like, yeah, I mean, like, it makes no difference to them. It makes a huge difference to you. Just fudge a little.
Yeah,
you know?
Say just the thing that isn't true.
Say a thing that isn't true and then, you know, learn on the way.
Yeah. But they didn't pay me at all. I got £50 for photocopying the solicitor's office for a week and a pat on the back for just being a lifeguard for 2 weeks. And they didn't ask as well. I just said, oh, yeah. But they were like, oh, you have your pool guard? I was like, yeah. It was okay, fine, there you go.
Yeah, pool's yours.
Pool's yours, friend. Off you go.
I did my first one in a solicitor's office doing Sudokus. Didn't get £50, which, like, I was doing Sudokus the whole time, so, like,
can't complain.
Yeah, can't complain. Second one, Quantity Surveyors, got the £50.
Nice.
And Quantity Surveyors were made of money in 2006.
Yeah. They were like, the only answer was loads, lads.
Yeah.
Just get loads.
£50 is fucking so much money when you're 15.
It's so much fucking money.
Do you ever think what you could apply that logic to now? Like, what could you get a 15-year-old to do for... I realise now what
that's like. Jesus Christ, Jack. There are children here.
Like, my work experience was also, I did my first in a solicitor's. My second was...
I'd be fascinated to find out what James's work experience was. We'll find out next week.
Yeah. Oh, I actually just stood beside the Queen of England for about 6 hours. It was insightful. We opened a school.
My second one was obviously done in DPD, the family business.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because how else would I have possibly gotten experience in that working environment? Oh, yes. The preceding several years and the 8 years after.
Yes, of course.
To be fair, though, you fared a lot better than the other work experience kids they got in. They were never seen again.
They were never seen again. Shipped to China.
Shipped to China.
Yeah. Surprisingly affordable shipping to China.
Yeah.
But I was trying to think of who the Prime Minister of China is, but...
you could have just said...
Xi Jinping?
Yeah, the joke I was trying to make didn't work because I couldn't think of it on the fly. Comedy's a race, folks.
Comedy is a race, unfortunately.
So it was Chinese.
Interesting. A lot of racial stuff tonight from you, Jack.
A lot of racial. When we looked at the gen, we did think we'd have to pull the race card, and yet you've done it again and again.
And again.
It's okay. Manus gave the "you were barely white" point earlier, and I'm like, oh, free pass, you say.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, yeah.
This will last at least 30 minutes.
You got your hood pass. You're fine. Because I'm the one who gives those out.
Yeah.
It actually goes through the same department as Safe Pass.
So every hood pass is given out by a middle-aged white man in Dublin. There's a big delay on them. Trump's is coming though.
I want to hear what he really thinks.
Went for it a while ago.
Yeah, need a bit of Trump unfiltered.
So that's a funny work experience story from Gavin.
How did you actually ever work as a lifeguard then after that? Sorry.
I did 2 days a week.
Oh, okay. That's like a, you mean like a weekend job?
Yeah, it was a weekend job. Yeah. It was the most irritating weekend job in the world because two of my shifts were in the Navan Road in St. Joseph's Pool.
Yeah.
And another one was in Ramp Lines, and I had to go from the Navan Road to Ramp Lines.
Oh, hell.
So I had three things. And one of them was like teaching kids how to swim. It wasn't even lifeguarding. And kids are easy to teach how to swim. Do you know who's hard to teach how to swim?
Adults. Yes.
They do not want to float.
No, they do not. Years of not knowing how.
Yes. How do you not know how to float?
It's so simple.
It's like not knowing how to occupy space. You're more buoyant than the water. You can float.
The fact that you're doing something to make that not happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Do less.
Or just
line your back,
clench your arse cheeks.
Inflate your arse cheeks.
Clench your arse cheeks.
Clench your arse cheeks.
If you had inflatable arse cheeks, you'd be fine.
Not I don't know, most, you'd be face down.
Not in most situations would you be fine with inflatable arse cheeks.
Ask the Kardashians.
Why would Boom. I ask them that?
Hot take.
Hot take. Hot take. The Kardashians have inflatable bums.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
that's where the expression blowing smoke up your ass comes from.
No,
it isn't.
Not.
No, it is. I checked.
That fact was on QI, so people know that.
Wait, was it? What's the real fact?
There was.
Is it diuretic or something?
No, it was thought medically sensible when a person was drowning that one of the things you could do to bring them back was to literally take a bellows and blow smoke up their arse.
Smoke or just air?
No, smoke.
Why smoke?
Because I don't know. Because it was.
Because at one point we thought leeches were a good idea.
we didn't know any of it. So, like, instead of like. But life boys be like bellows dotted around rivers and stuff.
Quick, blow smoke up his ass!
Well, he must have been dead for a really long time. He's so bloated. Yeah.
Yeah!
That's a receipt for a lot of canned meat in his pocket. Was there another thing on the agenda?
There was the Twitter thing.
Ah, so I mean, like,
we got intrigued pre-show.
We got intrigued pre-show. We thought, let's discuss it on the show. Jack, you brought it to our attention.
Okay, so a page that I follow and would recommend that you follow. Sorry, an account on Twitter that I follow and recommend you do is. Let me make sure I just get this actually correct.
Hot naked men. I already follow that.
Nudeboobs.org.
You're some sort of fanny boy that you only look at women. Like, what's up?
It's Ireland Simpson fans, but it's IRE Simpsons fans. Now, a page that I've been following for a while. They are very good.
Yeah, they are. They're funny.
They're funny, but they had a post during the week which absolutely blew up. We're talking 10,000 likes, a little, almost 1,000 retweets. And
when the IRA blew something up, nobody liked it. Except the IRA.
Except the IRA, yeah. Don't say nobody. I mean,
and a lot of replies. So what I'm going to do is throw out a couple of hot takes under the question, unpopular Simpsons opinions. I want you to give your opinion and potentially a couple of your own. So,
probably the most unpopular one, though. It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Didn't care.
It was never good to start with.
Yeah. So we'll start with the number one most liked one, I think, potentially. Actually, no, it's not. It's not that. But it's from Xavier Woods, the wrestler. Maggie should be in prison. She shot a guy. Go.
I don't think you could try someone that young.
Maybe Texas. Yeah, there is an age of criminal responsibility.
It's definitely under two.
I think it's somewhere around, in this country anyway, it's like 12 for most things, and then there's some stuff where it's 10, which to my mind, look at you, either are or yeah.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
It might be 7. Well,
yeah, what age were the kind of, I know it's the UK, but what age were the kids who
Bulger Boys?
The Bulger Boys, yeah.
They were like 3 and 6. They were like really
No. Bulger was 3. Three. Bulger they was were three. They were like 8 and 9, I think.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So I think it might be 7.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what. Okay, again, this would be easily Googleable, but that's not in the rules.
No. This, yeah.
But there is an age of criminal responsibility.
And Maggie falls well below it, yeah. I would say.
So fuck your opinion. She shouldn't be in prison.
She shouldn't be in prison. She's a baby.
She's a goddamn baby.
She didn't know what she was doing. Exactly. Or did she?
I hope he gets de-pushed so quick.
Marge was overdressed for almost every situation.
Pearls.
Pearls? Wearing a dress.
Wearing a dress day to day. A lot of the time she was just hanging around the house. Like, who's she trying to impress?
Yeah. Well,
there'd be a lot of talk around the neighborhood of her like halter top kind of dress.
Shoulderless.
I'm not saying she didn't have the figure to pull it off.
She was looking
length
well
for days.
There would have been snide remarks.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
By the neighborhood.
If you looked at Maud Flanders, Maud dressed respectably. Well, she dressed conservatively, I would say. There's a happy medium.
Maud
between
had ridiculous hair too, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Maud.
You do make friends with salad.
Bollocks.
Yes.
I think you can make friends with salad.
Name two fucking friends you've made with salad.
Yeah, get fucked, Gavin.
Yeah, good point. Good get point. Fucked. I did make an enemy with You Don't Make Friends with Salad because I worked with a guy who was just like a bit of a dummo, but like very loud. Well, he might be dumb, but at least he's loud.
Because I heard his opinions clearly.
And he thought he was hilarious. And anytime anyone brought in a salad to work for their lunch, he'd say, "Nobody makes friends with salad. Not even the correct quote."
Is it win friends with salad?
You don't win friends with salad.
Yeah, win friends.
And he said, "Nobody makes friends with salad."
Oh, what a dickhead. Oh, I hope he's dead.
I hope he's dead too.
I hope it hurt.
He has procreated. He has a child. There is a child about to come into the
big
world.
Stupid child.
Yeah.
But the child's not going to know any different. It's going to think it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you need to pee, Jack?
You go pee.
I can drop another one. We can riff on this cunt all day.
When you're done riffing on that aforementioned cunt, the monorail was a sound financial investment.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Like, because the geography of Springfield is pretty unclear, I would say.
Yeah, it's very flexible in how big it is.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it could make sense. I mean, I think...
Like, a monorail makes sense for a certain size of city.
Yeah, I think they make it clear in the universe of that episode, though, that it's far too small
for that sort of transport system.
Because I think, like, to my mind, when Lisa asks that question of Lyle Landy, in the classroom when she's something like, "Why would a small town with our population very centralized? Why would they? Whatever the quote is, why would they do that?" And then he fobs her off by saying, "That's the most intelligent question I've ever been asked by anyone, and that includes your teacher."
Springfield is quite small.
Yeah.
But in the episode, and I know it's outside seasons 2 to 9, so it might not count for some people. In the episode where Homer brings Lisa to the museum and there's the music box, that's a sprawling metropolis, San Francisco-esque.
And even within the 2 to 9, I'm sure there are times when Springfield is huge, but it just in that episode, I think it is it is true that it is too small
for a thing. Yeah, and you kind of have to take each Simpsons episode. You have to take its logic within itself.
The city around which the monorail goes, and you can see it going, is too small for it to need it, I guess. But how much did it cost? It was like they did it for $3 million. No, it wasn't a sound financial investment because they got it out of a fairground and it broke.
This is not the type of
and
also Main Street is still in bits.
It's still, yeah, they never fixed it. People leaving winter chains on their tires and carrying heavy loads. This is not the type of unpopular opinion I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be stuff like
season 9 was crap or
yeah,
like or,
yeah,
let me throw it at you.
5 is quite good.
Let me throw it at you. Then you're going to enjoy this.
I'm going to enjoy this.
That it got unwatchable around 2001. Sorry, that it got unwatchable / unfunny around 2001 is more fashionable than true.
That's
like season 10.
Season 11.
What do you call it? Behind the Laughter is outside. Is outside. Like there are, I think there are episodes outside 2 to 9 that are worth watching, especially in 10 and 11.
Yeah. To my mind, Behind the Laughter is the latest properly good episode. And it's in season 11.
And is Prince and the Pop, Principal and the Pauper, is that 9 or is that 10?
Is that when he gets fired?
Armin Tanzarian.
Because
that's funny.
It's like broadly acknowledges when it started to go downhill.
It's funny, but looking back, you can see little things, right? Okay, this is going to start to get. But it was still funny, and all I care about is the ha-has. I don't think that statement is more fashionable than true, Jack, but there is a school of thought that I think is more fashionable than true, which is that it got bad in between the Who Shot Mr. Burns's.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like season 6 to 7, so it's good in season 6 and gets bad in 7. That's somebody being a dickhead.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because there's patently good episodes after that.
Yeah.
Oh
my God, okay. Like, The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, where Homer tries to be like Thomas Edison, is in season 10.
Yeah, see, there's some good
Mark the, Mark the Mother, which contains the line, "Oh, am I in the way?" Yes, you're clearly in the way. I didn't realise I was in the way. You're still in the way.
Oh, is that it? There he is, off in the distance.
Yeah.
There's some good... Yeah. Okay, it's like it's...
Yeah, the Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger one is quite crap. Screen Actors Guild form... Oh, Homer goes to find out what his middle name is. Not great.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty.
The A triple plus. Yeah, it does. It does start to go downhill. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. I think there's one. This is just genuine. Like, Groundskeeper Willie was an undocumented worker. Should have been.
That's not an opinion. Deported. That's true.
He was. Yeah, yeah.
They do deport him.
Yeah, they deport him in the episode where they're prop 24, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's unpopular because they're wrong. That person. Like it happened. Yeah.
Whether Mo should still be in the country or not is another question.
Probably. Wait, where is Mo from?
They heavily imply Italy.
Despite Sizlak is quite clearly Polish.
Yeah. But like,
hey Mo, why are you not talking with your accent no more? That's in the We Like Roy episode. That's in their inner child. Brad Goodman, that's the guy.
Yeah.
I got two more for you. One quick. One maybe not so quick. The Screamapillar is the best pet anyone had in The Simpsons.
It's infuriating.
Absolutely terrible. That is an unpopular opinion for a reason, and I don't believe that person legitimately holds that opinion.
Yeah, they're just being a dickhead.
Do they explain it at all?
Nope, that's it. End of thought.
The screen, it was annoying to just watch.
Like, I wouldn't want a caterpillar as a pet, regardless of whether it screamed or not. And if it screamed, absolutely not.
You remember the episode where Santa's little helper goes and bees a dog for Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
And then the hounds are released on Bart, and then Santa's little helper remembers that it's Bart and turns around and scares off the other dogs. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What about the time that Snowball saved Homer from a tree? What about Lottie?
Trapped in ice and burning.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? That person is wrong.
That person is so wrong.
And if they're smaller than me, I'll fight them.
Or if they'll let me win.
Oh yeah, they'll let me win.
Okay, last one until we appeal to you, fine gentlemen, for your unpopular Simpsons opinions. Should they exist? Marge and Homer should have broken up. Marge can do better than Homer, and Homer should have gone with Mindy.
Homer loves Mindy. There is certainly a theme running through it that, like, really they don't have a particularly healthy relationship.
They're not
out a few times.
So. Yeah.
I mean, if you take
Conan O'Brien himself said it. Like, he was a writer for, what, one season, one and a half, something like that? And he was asked, how would you end The Simpsons? And he goes, I mean, it has to end with Marge leaving Homer. Like, that's... All signs are pointing towards that.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, there are, but you see it in the real world all the time, infuriating examples of what your life would be better if you were not attached to this person.
And
people are. I don't think that's that controversial.
No.
Mostly sad, I guess.
Because they properly... It's more of an informed affliction, really, in that they have him being an alcoholic, like a fairly full on. Reference him a few times, like getting the brew shakes at 11 a.m. And like you know, just really having like, and it would explain a lot of his stupidity a lot, right?
And he got way dumber. He originally was like sort of bumbling, well intentioned idiot. And then became just like awful.
Just like potentially like would need a care assistant. But like, I'd say the unpopular part of that opinion is that Homer should be with Mindy. I don't know that Mindy is fleshed out enough for us to truly know if that's true or not. Like, he should have gone with Mindy, maybe. And then, you know, there's no guarantee whether or not that works out. But
she hit the bottle pretty bad.
She did hit the bottle pretty bad.
Yeah, and if we know anything, it's that you put two together and it's like double negatives.
Yeah, exactly. They cancel each other out. Exactly.
There's something in the Marge-Homer dynamic when you're trying to write comedy, you always, I think it made more sense at the time. You always try to, if you, like the example I always use is like, if you're trying to,
if you're trying to put, pair two people together, that it's funny if they're beside each other, but why doesn't the normal one just leave?
Yeah, yeah.
I always just think, like, we solved that problem by putting our show on a plane.
Yeah!
So, yeah, like, yeah. You could have, like, you know... So I think it's, yeah, she's tied to him, they're married. There's a lot of the dynamic is that she has to put up with that.
Yeah.
But also there's always those redeeming moments. Like, I think the best in the streetcar episode. Like, the end of that episode, after him being an insufferable oaf, is him being like, oh, I'm maybe a bad husband and I should improve. Now, he doesn't, but it's a very endearing moment, and that kind of, like, justifies them sticking together.
The one, yeah. The one thing he can offer that no one else can is complete and utter dependence.
I don't know, Marge has her problems as well. I mean, remember that time that Homer burned down the house? Well, she has a gambling problem.
In a rocket power and jet fueled monkey navigator.
It goes on like this.
Yeah, I think there's enough in the show to, like, suggest that that is basically true.
Yeah, yeah. But Simpsons aren't brave enough. That's my unpopular opinion.
Whoa!
The Simpsons aren't brave enough.
Flesh that out.
To let that happen.
Whoa.
That's
actually a pretty hot take.
Yeah, well, they don't seem... It's weird, because, like... They just, they aren't, they don't seem that brave.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Now, but they were.
At the time, fucking what? I had an example that I was talking about a few weeks ago and I actually can't remember. Sorry, Mel, let's continue.
No, I was hoping you continue because I was trying to form
one of the unpopular opinions that was on that thread. It was something to the effect of The Simpsons is overly influenced by the political or ideological arm of Fox to enforce the idea that Americans are dumb.
No.
Not even unpopular, just unlikely.
Yeah.
That's just, why would you do, like, that's a, you know, fine.
Mm.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true, actually. Yeah, I take it back.
if it's that or argue it, I'd rather you be right.
Yeah. Unpopular opinion. The Simpsons video games were all really fun. All of them.
Simpsons, I remember playing Run on like a stand up.
Simpsons Wrestling was brilliant.
Simpsons Wrestling was brilliant.
Simpsons Taxi was so good.
That was a crazy taxi clown.
Yeah.
There was one on the, I don't know what home console it was available on, but it was an arcade game and it was like a tag team Simpsons
thing.
You could be Bart and Homer or whatever, and there was aliens and stuff. Mm. It was like I can't remember, but there was. I remember enjoying that as a child.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was actually any good.
Yeah.
What can you think of one that's supposed to be bad? That
there's fucking ton of them. The Simpsons video games. Let's see.
Here is the box for Simpsons Wrestling.
Simpsons Wrestling was so good.
I paid £25 for this in Games World. I tend to keep receipts in boxes. I did not.
Is it up there, like, is it like a Def Jam Vendetta kind of thing, or like,
how does so it... like the way it works, you know, every character has their special moves, but it's in a wrestling ring, it's in a boxing ring.
Did they do the crazy thing with Crazy Taxi? Did they basically clown use another game's engine?
I don't think so.
Would you be conversant?
Now, I wouldn't have played that many fighting games around the time, so maybe they did and I just didn't notice.
Including Bart Simpson skateboarding. Yeah, Bart Simpson skateboarding was great.
You can see some imagery on the back. Every character had their own thing going on. Like Barney's special move was burping at you.
Yeah.
And then the cloud would float across and attack you.
Flanders was surprisingly OP.
Yeah, the new patch, the new meta really fucked Flanders. Really nerfed him hard.
I don't know. It sort of looks like I'm only looking at stills. It sort of looks like a game that came out in, was it 1997, which was WWF Warzone.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
It wasn't very good.
No.
It's made by Big Ape. I don't know what else they made.
No, yeah, no, what,
commissioned by Fox directly. So yeah, maybe this might have been ground up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you want to call the 24-hour hint line for gameplay hints and tips?
Let's see if it's still going.
I mean,
for Irish, I'm going to call it right now.
It wasn't.
Manus, do you have any unpopular Simpsons opinions?
Oh, I'm trying to think if I do or not. I don't know.
Here's one. The Homer Simpson, the Homer focused episodes in 2 to 9 are the worst ones.
The Homer-focused episodes.
Yeah.
So what would be, like Homer Goes to Space or something?
Homer Goes to Space. Those are the worst ones.
What conversely would be the best ones?
Bark focused ones or more Lisa focused ones. I think the ones that focus on the kids are better, where Homer's idiocy is a flavor rather than the whole dish, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough. If you're not relying on the why would somebody possibly be that dumb?
Yeah, yeah.
To get, yeah, okay.
Or ones that are more family focused. Like, my favorite Simpsons episode is Cape Fear.
That's many people's favorite.
And, it's a great episode. I think it's more Bart heavy than anything else.
It is.
Yeah, well, it's Bart and it's Sideshow Bob.
And it has Homer kind of dancing in and out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, which is where he's at his best, really.
Yeah.
He's had all the actual voice actors in it. Sorry, I'm falling down an absolute Simpsons wrestling rabbit hole.
They,
And doing something you never did as a kid, read the manual.
Yeah. Oh my god, it has all the characters' explanations in here. Lisa's primary attack was called Painfully Intelligent.
Lisa is painfully intelligent. Lisa is too intelligent a lot of the time.
Yeah.
To the point of it being annoying.
Yeah.
And they do sort of reference it, like, and they come, but, and she does sometimes get a bit of a, you know, a slap down. But, yeah, Lisa can be a pain in the arse.
Yeah.
There's eight characters.
Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, Moe, Willie, Flanders, and Barney.
Ooh, no, okay, you've got the family. The family is there. There are four remaining characters.
And they get Hornswoggle to, like,
do Flanders.
Capture for Maggie?
No, you're right with Willie. Willie isn't in there. Flanders isn't in there.
Apu
is in there. Yeah. His powers are unlocking the power of vegetables as his primary attack and his primary defense, taking on behavior of a hummingbird.
I only worked all that out. Yeah.
I think he actually flew in this game.
Tried to drink nectar out of Sanjay's head.
Two more characters.
Any unpopular opinions on Apu and the controversy therein?
They shouldn't have caught him.
Did they caught him?
Did they do that in the end?
I don't know. I actually stopped following. The thing.
Yeah, it's almost like
outrage
culture doesn't have a lot of follow through.
Yeah, because I don't care about The Simpsons, and like what you call it, Sammy J and Randy had the hilarious through line in one of their shows of it's different time back then.
Sammy J and Randy,
and like with Apu, I kind of think like it was a different time back then. I don't know, like it was bad.
It was a different time. It's was like bad. Dragging up tweets from 2008 makes you a bad person now. It's like, okay, you said that shit, but it was a different time back then.
Yeah.
And like, people are allowed to change. I would argue it's encouraged.
Yeah.
Where did it come from as well, though, right? It came from a good place. I think they were as respectful as they are with any other character that they...
Yeah.
That they
no, made. Scottish he, people are like, Willie just shouldn't talk like that.
Well, yeah, gotta, like, he's yeah, the argument against it is, yes, like, it's a kind of racist caricature voice. At a time when... Were there any other South Asians on TV? Was Apu maybe one of the first ones?
Yeah, it's one. Of, yeah,
But I don't think that would be like saying minstrels were a good. Were like a representation of black people, and all representation is good. I just don't think this was that bad.
Yeah,
but it's also like it's not bad.
None of us are Indian, so like it's not our place to be offended by it or not.
Yeah, well, like yeah,
but it's also not. Any other white person to be offended on their behalf. Like, that's just as bad, I think.
I can't care about it. How would I possibly be offended by a portrayal of something that was? Like, how would that have been? Like, we did watch the Kiora ad there a little while ago.
We did, and that was uncomfortable
much.
To watch.
That was
yeah.
A bit much,
what was that?
Just Google it.
Yeah, the Kiora ad. Wow.
Rather indelicate.
Which probably came out after The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, I remember. That was, people had a. Took issue with the art style for Cuphead. If you saw that game, it was very successful last year. It's called Dance with the Devil. It was same art style. And people were like, that art is racist. And it's like, well, the game is adorable. The Kiora ad is in that. Like, wow, this is a
super... I see where you were coming from, Cuphead.
This is racist right here.
Yeah.
There's two things. First of all, and this is always true of everything, you cannot write comedy for 30 years in the future, and if you try, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can only write for the audience that's
inherently of its time.
Second of all, The Simpsons was, and I could be wrong, where it changed that you had to keep the voice actors being the same.
Yeah, actually.
Like, you genuinely, before that, sure, Mel Blanc was Bugs Bunny, but you could get another one.
Yeah, and they did.
Several.
Several. Like, didn't Billy West do a couple after Mel Blanc died?
Yes, he did. Billy West was
he was Bugs for a while?
He was Bugs. He's Bugs in Space Jam, I think.
Yeah.
So, like, that was the rule.
Yeah, yeah.
And were that still the rule, I'm sure you could go and get... You could then go, like, okay, well, the cultural things have changed and now we don't... We kind of knew we didn't do blackface, but we weren't sure that you didn't do the Indian thing.
So yeah, yeah.
Now we'll, we'll get an Indian guy to do it, maybe. That would be the solution. Except you kind of now can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, because
and The Simpsons changed that.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's great if you're a voice actor on a successful... thing
means you're put your kids through college.
Look the money there those guys are on. Because yeah. I think quite late on, I think they were of the opinion they could replace them.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple of like little disputes and they got paid fucking loads.
Yeah.
Because it became obvious that they couldn't. So a combination of you can't write comedy for 5 years down the line, I mean, and expect it to work. And if you're pretending you did, you're lying.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know how things are going to age.
Yeah.
So... It's why most comedy isn't funny when you go back and look at it. I don't know what the what the generation gap is.
Yeah,
like stuff that was hilarious just isn't.
Or why a large contingent of woke comedy is enlightening but not particularly funny.
Because it's storytelling and it's bad comedy.
It's concerned it's concerned about itself.
Yeah,
one of my favorite warm up exercises has always been one that I learned from a guy who got it in drug rehab.
Yeah,
which is like you have to sacrifice your dignity at the altar of comedy. If you feel like someone's holding something back or cares about how they're being perceived, I don't know, it fucks with my theory of what it is anyway. I just like
that was the warm up for those who are wondering was sizzling sausages,
where you pretended to be a different breakfast item sizzling in the pan.
I learned that from a guy who explained it to me. He was just like, yeah, because you have like one of the problems with people trying to get off drugs, you have all these heads,
yeah,
and they're all trying to be like
the big man
in some way, and you have to get that out of them or it won't work. And I think that's also true of comedy.
Yeah,
and if you're very concerned about how you come across, I think you sacrifice the ha-has.
Yeah,
and that's your job.
Yeah, yeah,
your job is the ha-has.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't mean say anything.
It doesn't mean say anything. And it doesn't mean like, oh, I could say any racist thing as long as it's funny. Like, we've come to a point where, you know, you have to be a conduit for the culture in many ways, you know? Like, and who was it? I think it was Nerdwriter or something like that who said, like, comedy lives in the grey area. So, like, as we push further and further on in our kind of progressiveness, comedy needs to be one or two steps ahead. And the problem with kind of woke comedy is it's trying to be 10 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Where there isn't that grey area yet.
Or two of the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I absolutely get you. I think it's just if you're saying things like, am I going to be on the right side of history with this joke? It's like, well,
that's probably not thinking about the
that's
joke.
Where the funny lies. And yes, in 5 years time you're going to look like a screaming racist.
You change your new act and accept that, like, your new stuff is going to be a screaming racist or something in 5 years time. Like, say what you want. Say kind of what you want in comedy, as long as it's kind of current and like something you believe in and stuff like that. And then just like be a decent person, and people won't. Yeah, and people might not care that you were a little bit behind, you know?
I always feel like the argument that resonates with me is it ultimately boils down to intention, which is fortunate because it's easy to say, and unfortunate because it's impossible to know. In that, like, did he intend to make people laugh with this joke? or did she intend to hurt people or to incite hate with this joke? Does
which
she want?
Which, if you were trying to do, would be
a terrible way to do it.
I don't know.
Our first year in Edinburgh, our comedy certainly incited a lot of hatred in us.
Yeah, they did.
They did not like us at
like
all.
Us. No, we weren't fans. People kept coming back. Why did they come to our concert just to boo us?
You were saying Patrice O'Neill?
I just heard him interviewed and he was talking about like the joke that pissed you off and offended you, that comes from the same place as the one you loved.
Mm.
It's still coming from trying to make people happy, and they might have fucked up, and maybe I won't say it again, you know. That's new material, I might not keep it.
Felt cute, might delete later.
And the one of the least funny, to the point that it became funny, comedy acts I ever saw, and one of the things that really convinced me to try the group thing, because I was sick of sitting at gigs on my own, was a guy, and just his whole set was just about how big his dick was.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It was not the Comedy Cellar, what's the name of that place upstairs in Haven Ridge?
Battle of the Axe.
And he's just it wasn't even the joke. It was just he wanted to tell you he had a really big dick. And I was just like, that's a really clumsy version of the kind of thing I'm talking about when you care what people think about you.
From the Dane Cook school of perception of comedy.
Yeah.
I want to look like a rock star. Laugh at my jokes and pay me money into arenas.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Good. Fair play to you, but it's not my bag.
Yeah.
I really like Dane Cook, but Jesus Christ, you only one guy can really do it, you know?
Mm.
Then it's just kind of done.
Yeah.
And also, there,
you look at all the comedians that we love, and they all, while they're on stage, humiliate themselves a little bit.
And often while they're off it.
Often while they're off it, yeah. Like Chris Rock, John Mulaney are just like fucking...
I've really gotten down with John Mulaney in the last 3 months. I watched his first thing only a couple of months ago, and he is just fabulous.
He's one of the best joke writers.
I laugh at him when I'm on my own.
Mm.
Like, you know...
He's an out loud kind of comic.
You go to a comedy show... You laugh because whatever, everyone's laughing. How often when you're watching like Netflix are you laughing?
Yeah,
he's a laugh.
Mulaney is one of my favorites, and I'm waiting for him to eventually not, because if everyone eventually gets crap,
he will.
Everyone does.
If Carlin got like not funny, I'm not saying bad, but at least not funny.
It was a different thing by the end, right?
Everyone gets not funny. Pryor gets, well, he just died.
Your favorite comic is, and that's one of the things.
Bo Burnham quick comedy, which is like fucking dynamite for me. I was a big Bo Burnham fan, and
make happy. Just like, I'll just be sitting there over Tuesday, being like, I have an hour.
Yeah.
Like, how many bands do you wish, like, quit an album or two earlier?
How
many Matrix films do you think there should have been?
The answer is probably just
one. Yeah. I don't know. The Animatrix had... Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you, man. Yeah, sorry. I don't know what I was saying.
part of what I love about comedy is that, like, your favourite comic is a little bit away from being shit.
Yeah.
And they're going to be. Yeah. And it's...
Because it's the grey area.
And it won't be that funny when you go back and watch it in 10 years' time. Your kids won't find it funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't find it funny when you show it to your kids. You're going to be a little bit embarrassed.
That's why it's so special when you're at a show. You know, and you're just like, this is legitimately... Even if you transported someone back in time, they wouldn't find this as funny as I'm finding it. And as well, that someone else could be there and hate it. But bring that. And nothing's better than just sitting and laughing for an hour.
Yeah.
It's just class.
Good comedy.
It's fucking brilliant. It's hard. It's hard to make laugh out loud comedy. It's not hard to make... it's hard enough to make, I'll watch that and go, huh.
Yeah.
You can make smile
comedy. What you call it? I was reading a book about TV, and they described the difference between comedy and drama spectacularly. They said how comedy needs to be so precise and perfect, and drama can be like a little bit shit at times. And they said, I mean, like, a concert pianist is allowed a bum note every now and then, but a juggler drops one ball and is a crap juggler.
It's his job to not do that.
Yeah.
That is good.
There's something to it, and I think it's fantastic. And I think you can see it when it's happening with the crowd. You're tapping into something that we're supposed to do. You know, you're tapping into this primal thing.
It's like coming too early. Even if I didn't want to, it's happening right now, and I am laughing at this joke.
You get that feeling. I think when you do a lot of there's certain sports. I think you get it with things. There's something visceral about it, like
a tackle.
A tackle is actually probably true as well, although it wasn't what I was talking about. It was more like stuff like hitting things with things or throwing stuff at targets.
Like every nation has it. Every culture has a bat sport. A hit things with stick sport. Or something that's, for some reason, is so inherent to us that everyone independently came up with it.
And it feels incredible.
Like, it feels like every time.
Snooker or you know, you're playing pool and you're doing well and it's very rare, but like, and it just
flows.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Or like even something stupid, like you're far away from the bin and you throw your something that's supposed to go on the
bin.
And it's just like, oh yeah, there's some primal little reward center in here.
Rhythm is the same thing. Like a good beat, like people who have irreparable brain damage don't lose rhythm.
Yeah.
Somehow. It's so inherent to us as humans.
And that's, I think musicians probably feel the same thing too. And it's why people do comedy for way longer than they should, and like where it isn't funny. Yeah. Like it's why I pissed a lot of my life down the drain trying to do it, because it's so good, even at like a really minor level, when you're just like,
I don't want to try and relate shit back to wrestling because I do that too much, but I think one of the most poignant things I ever heard from a wrestler who's been around a while, even though he's very young. We were talking about birds, because we are in fact lads.
That is true.
And he said,
I've seen the dong.
Yeah.
You're nautical people, I've seen the boats. shout out to Tony Law.
Look, pussy's good, man. Nothing beats a pop. Like, as a comedian, like, pop is like the reaction from a crowd.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, right.
Like, I think the same thing applies to like there is nothing more satisfying than like, I made that happen.
It's a little cheat, right?
It was good.
It's a little cheat because they didn't come here necessarily wanting to laugh. Now you can force yourself to not laugh if you want. You can sit there with a puss on you and not laugh. I've done it.
Yeah.
I have.
A lot of comedians do it.
But you've just, it's like tickling. It's just, there's something you've just got.
Yeah, well, I
know the magic key to make you do that thing. And it's clearly, there's some little thing that goes back that makes you want to do it.
Mm.
And it makes you go like, I won't get a job for another little while. I'll just see how this pans out. A lot of flat, balding, middle-aged men made by that.
Yeah. They're not all balding.
Bad point. We've prattled and what's the word?
Dithered.
Dithered and mansplained and white-splained. And
twaddled.
Twaddled. For long enough, it's time to get into the thing that everybody tunes in for, which is the end of the
list of reasons. This
is penance for a lot of people,
preceded by drinking to be class in some ways, where you get the hangover out of the way first.
Yeah, if you could be hungover. Fuck. Okay, Whoa. We might need a whole new episode.
We're just going to keep this rolling. We'll do a double right here
like,
tonight.
How would it work? And I don't know that that's true.
So, I know I can. I know there's a match on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? But I work on Mondays. Right?
Yeah.
So I have fuck all to do on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'll get the hangover out of the way. I'll go in, I'll have a great time, wake up fresh as a fucking daisy on Monday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's downtime.
So you want to go out on Friday night, but you have to have a hangover while you're at work.
Well, if I want to do it, I can...
You can choose when...
I can choose when my...
Oh, like, that'd be great. I think the point you were making was it would be better if it was always before.
In order for it to be a good talking point... Yeah, that has to be what we say. Otherwise, there's no argument. Yeah, if it was always beforehand, I wonder, would you ever... That's a good question. Would you ever drink? You'd only do it when you really wanted to. Is the juice worth the squeeze? And that's the way to prove it.
Yeah.
Would you ever drink if you had to have that fucking hangover first?
If you're like, here, do you want a drink? All right, yeah, cool.
See you tomorrow.
See you in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you are going to fucking need it.
Six hours, you were lucky.
There's some days when I love being hungover. And like
a specific type.
The feeding hangover, where you're just like, you're only kind of foggy, but you're just like giving in to your every desire. And it's like, I'm sick. I need this.
It's such a free pass.
It's such a free pass.
And especially if you have takeaway or something.
Last night's pizza. I feel like you really cross the
line. Only 100 push-ups instead of two. You know, the usual.
A real day off.
A real day off,
Last night's pizza has taken a turn for the better for me since Gavin told me to fry it.
Yeah, it's way better.
You don't even need to put oil in the pan. Yeah. It has its own oil.
It'll seep it
fucking
out.
Fucking class.
It's the best.
Like sometimes if I'm like after like a night of drinking, I'll order pizza on my way home. But I don't even really want it right now.
Yeah. You know it, but I don't want to wake up to that shit.
I want to have that morning pizza. Yeah. Maybe topped off by a little cue. I'm an alcoholic, by the way. I like to top everything off with a little snifter of more drink. A little
Shura-rooney.
I consider it a very healthy choice when I pick Lucozade instead of more beer.
Man, you know you've crossed the line when you're drinking water because you want to, not because you need to. That's how you know you are now in control of this hangover. You're in the driver's seat at that point.
I've upped my water levels at work. I am now peeing clear 24/7.
Whoa. Yeah. Welcome to the... Wow, Gavin. Yeah. That's amazing.
Welcome to the 21st century. Yes.
That was Ray Walker's advice, which he delivered to me in when I was in sixth year. And I was like, well, I've been playing rugby since I was in first year. Why are you telling me this now?
Wait, what was this?
He said it should be every 20 to 30 minutes and clear as water.
Yeah.
20 to 30 minutes is too much.
To be properly hydrated. That was his theory. In order to be hydrated enough to like not be dehydrated at the end of a game, that's what you need to be doing.
Wow.
Like,
you need to be drinking every 20 to...
No. You need to be peeing every 20 to 30
minutes. So you need to be peeing three times in the middle of the game.
No, but in the middle of the game you don't because you're sweating it out.
Yeah, okay. Three times an hour?
Yeah, well, 30
twice
minutes.
An hour.
30 minutes.
Okay, twice an hour.
Still
is,
too much.
It's still a lot.
I used to arrive half an hour before the game and try and start down in water. Hydrate, in the middle of the match, And so the other guy comes out with the water bottle.
It takes about 2 hours for it to get from mouth to useful.
Meaning that
if you start drinking water at halftime, You're just nothing. Actually, it's making it worse because you're carrying the weight around, but you're not, it's not,
not
helping
getting the benefit.
You, really.
But now if I go run, if I do anything under 12 kilometres, I don't drink until it's over. And I don't need to because I'm properly hydrated. My memory of any sporting activity before the age of 17 or 18 was just perpetual thirsty.
Speaking of sporting activity, last week of the Six Nations coming up.
So, did you get a call up or something?
And I need a new hydration plan because I'm in the game.
I'm in the game.
Is there any point? Wales are just going to win the Grand Slam. That's what they do.
Yeah, they are excellent at winning Grand Slams. Yeah.
They're quite good at rugby, in fairness.
They're good at confounding expectations, is what they're very good at.
I'd say they're good at being considered second best to Ireland and being incredibly frustrated by that. Despite the fact that numbers don't stack up that way.
They stack up as Wales being vastly superior.
Yeah.
For years, forever, right?
So we're thinking Wales are taking it home.
I hope not.
We're great spoilers, but yeah, probably
it's
Wales.
The sweetest plum.
The sourest one.
Like as shit as rugby was for an Irish supporter in the 90s into the early 2000s, it was the sweetest plum ever to fuck up England's season occasionally.
That was the job.
Was it 2001 or was it 2000 when we fucked up their Grand Slam? Like that ranks up there with like 2009 Heineken Cup or 2009 Grand Slam or it was so sweet. Because they would be fucked up. Like Neil Francis' quote of Connacht and Scotland, they won't win anything, but they'll fuck your season up. There's something so pure about it. I think it's the most we can hope for. I think it's why we love the Ra so much.
We're not going to win the fight, but we'll fuck
you up. We'll fuck you up a little bit. We'll sneakily ruin your shopping centre. you're not going to look at an unattended plastic bag ever again in the same way, are you? There you go now. We'll tell you beforehand if we can, but we're going to blow up that area. You know?
What do we think of the beer?
What do I think of the...
Surprisingly good.
I had a very good time drinking it. I enjoyed recording this episode. I maintain that it's not my favourite style in the world. There is that banana-y buzz to it, but it is offset by a spicy kind of wintery. It's almost a novelty beer. I can't, in terms of it being feeling like a seasonal, not novelty, but a seasonal beer.
Yeah.
In terms of it tastes Christmassy. Mm. I used to drink fucking loads of this, and the windy,
5.5, wow.
The windy mm. farts. Were
wheat beer will do that to you. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just unlocking like a pleasant youthful memory, but I really liked that. 7. I think it was 7.
7.
This far exceeded all of my expectations. I went in actually expecting to not like it. This has been really smooth. I thought it was going to get bad over time. I thought it was going to give me the hiccups.
Mm.
Nope, didn't happen. Just stayed quite flavorful, very smooth, very drinkable all the way throughout. I am pissing like a racehorse, but I think that's unrelated. I'm going to go 7.5.
And I am going to go 6 because I initially enjoyed just the kind of banana-y spiciness. And then, I don't know whether it was too flavourful, it was too heavy, it was too...
Yeah, you often find it difficult to carry loads.
Yeah, I do find it difficult to carry loads.
Shooting them out as possible. Yeah, shooting them out all the time.
Yeah, yeah. For some reason I found myself drinking it quite slowly, and normally that's to kind of save some for the end, but for this I just didn't really want to drink anymore. I don't think you could drink 10 of these.
Yes, you can, because I did.
Yeah,
what a legend! I drink tons of beer.
I don't think you should drink 10 of these.
I could almost. It was weird, and then in a moment of like drunken ESP, I could almost feel you not enjoying that very much.
And
because of how crap you were on the show as well.
Listeners will attest, I was pretty crap.
Gavin, the fire Carberry really didn't bring it.
The ember is all he really was.
So that gives it a total score of 20.5 and a final countdown score of 6.833333333.
Yeah, I mean...
We gave it 7s, didn't we?
Oh yeah, 7.5. I mean, it's... Look.
This is a fuggy beer for me.
Well, I don't know. Get you all fun dog.
It doesn't perk me up in the way that other beers do. And I want to be constantly perky.
You want to be, oh, that's you're a man of perk. Boob jobs. I feel you on the fugginess. I do. But to be honest with you, I'm probably upped and buoyed by the enthusiasm of not being hungover anymore.
As
a Monday beer is occasionally wont to do.
Yeah, which
it did. But that does give us the end of our episode, and it only gives us one thing to cheers to.
To unpopular Simpsons opinions!
To that segment we did.
The Fine Ale Countdown is brought to you by Gavin Carberry, Jack Toner, James Belfast, and Ant-Man is Cronin. Follow us on Twitter at Fail Countdown. Fail Countdown. and email us at finealecountdown@gmail.com.